This episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Built Bar. Let me tell you, it is a terrific product. It is healthy for you. They taste great, and the flavors are unbelievable. Peanut butter brownie, mint brownie. I'm loving them, and you should order them. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Now, let's listen to Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. In today's episode, I'm going to be making a plea for a little bit of sanity and talk a little bit about how a player's career and the fortunes of a franchise could change in the blink of an eye. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying home and being safe and smart in this trying time, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball, hosted by Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net. We're also on Instagram at LockedOnMLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let's just be smart. I've said this already, but I keep seeing things about how Scott Boras wants the season to start here, or the Players Association is being handed a proposal to start then, and we need a sense of normality or normalcy or whatever it is, and when is it coming back? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? I just am flabbergasted that this is a conversation that we're having right now. I'm absolutely flummoxed. Now, Kara Jeffrey, I don't know if you know who she is. She's a performer and also a huge Mets fan and really fun follow on Twitter, Kara_Jeffrey on Twitter. As big a Mets fan as you'll ever meet in your life, really fun person to follow along the season with. And she wrote something on Twitter today that was, I could not express what I was saying more. It said, I miss baseball so much that I have a hole in my heart without it. But I still care more about the health and safety of players and all employees needed to bring a game back than I do my own entertainment. I'd rather know baseball than rush it back and risk anyone's life. That's not a political statement. That's not a controversial statement. That's a smart statement. And I'll say one better. I don't want to hear any BS about starting the baseball season until I hear it from doctors and scientists. The people who know what's going on here, or at least know what we should and shouldn't be doing, or have a better idea of it, other than, hey, I'm not making money. My father, who has not been well, but he has given me a lot of good advice over the years, and one gem that he gave me was, you don't solve a problem by creating a problem. We've seen that whenever there's mass groupings of people, we see everything spiking. So are we so weak, and is our spine so non-existent that we have to say things, oh, we want games. Then watch some games on YouTube. Do some things. But we don't have any solutions right now. We're not seeing anything getting any better. And I would rather err on the side of not making this worse. Why is this so hard to understand? And let me ask you something. Have you been tested? Have you been tested? I haven't. I don't know where to go for testing. Virtually nobody I know has. They've done enough testing to what? Do half of LA County and no other part of the country? I mean, this is insane to think that, okay, let's go back. Why? Based on what? Based on your company's not making enough money based on owners who are all billionaires who could cover all the costs of everything in a blink of an eye. They all can. And we're going to rush back because why? We're a little antsy that watching Korean baseball isn't enough? Listening to podcasts or watching old ball games isn't enough? Seriously, this is a time in our life where we have to think about someone other than ourselves and our own boredom. And the idea of saying, let's start baseball, why? Seriously, Kara and I are as big a baseball fans as you'll ever meet in your life. Why? And why is this sentiment that I'm having right now considered to be, political? Is someone going to write to me and say, hey, stick to baseball, I don't want to have any politics? This isn't politics. This is called intelligence. We don't know how much longer it's going to be. But we know it will get worse if we start gathering in crowds and getting people together. And it takes people, a lot of people, to get a ball game going, even if there are no fans in the stands. Look, there's a lot of things. I work in public schools. I can't go to my public school right now. You don't think I want to work? You don't think I want to get back to helping teach those kids? I'm going to go on a limb here that that's slightly more important than seeing if the Padres are playing the Brewers. But let's be smart. Let's do the opposite of dumb. This is not hard to understand. I want to hear it from doctors and scientists, not from freaking Hal Steinbrenner or Scott Boras. Okay? If you're worried about people making their rent, do you know what? Help them do that. But let's not do anything dumb. And I frankly don't want to hear another article. I don't want to hear one more scenario. None of them. None of that interests me. And if we all get, you're going to see things. You'll see spikes. So let's not even talk about it. There's a lot of things to talk about. And I'm going to be talking about some of them later today. And I'm going to be doing some fun things here on the podcast. And I got a really fun thing that I'm putting together for Monday, which we're going to be doing something that's kind of like a game show. We're going to have on other hosts of the Lockdown Podcast Network. And I'm going to be hosting a quiz show on here. There's going to be fun things if you need entertainment. But let's not be stupid. Let's not listen to people who are not knowledgeable on the subject, who are telling us, it's time to go back. I'll ask this again. Have you been tested? Is the person to your left and the right, are they tested? The answer to that is going to probably be no, I'm guessing. So what the hell are we talking about? I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about baseball and other things. But I had to get that out of the way because I get really flummoxed that this is even an issue, that we're even talking about this, and that me saying this is probably going to upset somebody and say, we got to come back. Why? And this is from as big a baseball fan as you will ever meet. Why? Kara is as big a baseball fan as I am, and she's asking why. If you're not tested and you don't have an answer to that why, then please find something else to give you entertainment and hope that we can get through this without doing, dumb stuff. That's all I'm trying to avoid, is dumb stuff. But we're going to talk about some fun stuff. We're going to talk about some what-ifs, and we're going to talk about some alternate universes, and we're going to talk about how fragile the careers of some people are, and some of the history of some franchises could be different if one tiny thing happened or another. But hey, let's talk about something right now, which is Built Bars. And let me tell you, they are a sponsor, but they're great. And I would have them even if they're not. Do you know why? Because they're protein bars that are healthy. I'm trying to be health conscious now. I'm trying not to, sit eating brownie batter with a straw. When this all ends. I don't want to look like Bartolo Colon circa 2018. I want to look like Bartolo Colon when he was a rookie. And it is a good, health-conscious way to get yourself some nutrition. It's a way to maintain weight. It's low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, all those things. But you're like, but suddenly, what do they taste like? And I'll tell you something, they taste great. They taste great. They got incredible flavors. And what I'm going to do when I do the quiz show, I got some flavors I haven't tried yet. And I'm going to do it right as I'm recording. But I've had myself the chocolate raspberry, and that's great. I've had myself the brownie, mint brownie is what it is. It's fantastic. I got myself flummoxed. That's how much I love it. So let me tell you something. You got to try Built Bar. And what you need to do is you need to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get $10 off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off of Built Bar. Now let me tell you another thing. I love supporting the local businesses as much and as best as I can. And one way I can do that is through Postmates. I order food from some local restaurants, and they can deliver them through Postmates, and they drop them right at my front door, and it's great. And you can order from anywhere. All my favorite restaurants are going ahead and do this. And guess what? It's not just burgers and not just fish and chips. They can make deliveries from Walgreens and 7-Eleven and drop it right outside my door. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android and find your favorite and get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. I was looking at a On This Day in Baseball History site. It's nationalpastime.com. I'll give them a little plug. And an interesting thing happened, and very sad thing happened, on this day in 1957. On this day in 1957, Herb Score was pitching for the Cleveland Indians, and he got hit in the face on a line drive from Gil McDougall of the New York Yankees. Now, Herb Score became an announcer for many years for the Cleveland Indians, but at the time, he was coming off a spectacular start to his career. At age 22, in 1955, he was the rookie of the year, led the league in strikeouts, pitched to a 2.85 ERA over 227 and a third innings, and became the star pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. The very next year, at age 23, he had an even better year. If you like to follow wins, he got 20 wins, but he had a lower ERA, pitched more innings, still led the league in strikeouts, had the best hit per nine inning ratio, threw 249 in the third innings, led the league in shutouts through 16 complete games, and went into the 1957 season as one of the rising superstars in baseball at age 24. And keep in mind, the Indians were still a quality team. He arrived on the Indian squad in 1955, which was the year after they lost the World Series to the Giants as a 111-win team. But they won 93 games his first year, 88 games his second full year, finished in second place in both of those seasons. The Indians were big-time contenders in 1955. But after Gil McDougall hit that line drive off his face that essentially ended his 1957 season, and he came back in 1958 and only started 5 games. He did pitch a full season in 1959, but was not very effective. And he went to the White Sox as a try to make it as a spot starter. And he, by 1962, at age 29, he pitched 4 games in relief for the White Sox, and that was it. Now, to be fair, Herb Skor blamed a torn tendon in his pitching arm, not the hit by Gil McDougall off his face, for the ending of his career. But I say that, okay, that may have been the case, but perhaps he had a situation where he was pitching differently or overcompensating or doing something different in his motion that caused the damage. You can see there's a demarcation. He was one of the best pitchers of baseball and then suddenly became a, basically missed two seasons and came back mediocre and his career was over, and that was that. And the fortunes of the Cleveland Indians seemed to collapse along with him. If the Indians had a star pitcher like Herb Skor in 1959, they may have won the American League pennant that year. They may, I mean, if you take a look at that team that wound up winning 89 games and finishing second to the Chicago White Sox, they had, Cal McLish, Gary Bell were both good pitchers, but they needed one more really good starter in that rotation. Mudcat Grant was a solid pitcher on the team, as was Jim Perry, but they needed the depth, and a good Herb Skor could have won the pennant. And who knows? You don't know the chain reaction of events, but if Herb Skor continued to pitch the way he did out of the gate, could he have been a Cy Young Award winner? Could he have been an MVP? Could he have been a Hall of Famer? And could the very, fortunes, for the lack of a better word, of the Cleveland Indians in the second half of the 1950s had been different if that had happened? They were already contenders. Hell, they were already a pennant winner. Could Herb Skor have been a Hall of Famer if Gil McDougall's line drive didn't go off of his face? Another person whose career was totally changed by a pitch hitting him in the face, by a ball hitting him in the face, of course, was Tony Conigliaro. I was trying very hard to pronounce his name correctly. I think it's hard for us to understand the impact of Tony C when he arrived on the scene in Boston in 1964 as a teenager. He was 19 years old. He was a native of New England. Incredibly good looking. Incredibly good looking Italian dude from Revere. And right-handed power hitter who hit 24 home runs as a 19-year-old, led the American League in home runs with 32 in 1965, and then hit 28 before his 22nd birthday, and he was a 22-year-old in 1967 and hit 20 home runs again. He had hit over 100 home runs before his 23rd birthday. He was on an unbelievable pace in a pitcher's era. And in a time when the Red Sox were kind of sort of dormant, lest we forget, Red Sox Nation did not emerge until 1967. And Red Sox Nation the Red Sox were a bad team that had trouble drawing any fans. The Yawkeys were talking about moving the Red Sox. If they didn't get a new stand, they wanted to tear down Fenway Park. And Yaz was a fine player at the time, but not yet the beloved superstar. He was still the replacement of Ted Williams with a funny name. And Tony C was the massive home run masher on that team. In 1967, the year that everything started to change and the Red Sox Nation was embracing the team and finally coming back to Fenway, Yaz, of course, won the Triple Crown and became the darling of baseball and sparked the love of the Red Sox that hasn't ended to this day. But Tony C was right alongside him, being the right-handed power hitter alongside Carl Yastrzemski's wonderful left-handed bat. They were a 1-2 combination, which Tony C was in his early 20s. This would have been the combination for a long time. And then Jack Hamilton of the Angels hit Tony C in the face. And on August 18, 1967. And it shattered his cheekbone, dislocated his jaw, and gave him damage to his retina. And he was out. He was out for the year and didn't play at all in 1968. Now, he did have a comeback in 1969. And in fact, by 1970, he seemed to be back. He had 36 home runs. But then his vision started going. And by 1971, he was not on the Red Sox. He played half a season with the Angels and was not the same player. In 1975, he tried to come back with the Red Sox, played a handful of games, but that was that. What would have happened if he didn't get hit in the face with that pitch? Would the combination of Tony C and Yaz be the greatest 1-2 combination in Red Sox history? Would the addition of the bat of Tony C been enough to get the Red Sox a World Series championship in 1967? Probably not. The Cardinals were better. But if Tony C was there as a 27-year-old slugger, could they have gotten over the top in 1972? You don't know that, and we don't know that. It's a what if. He played in 1975 briefly. The fans loved it, but it didn't really make much of an impact. That year was the year that Jim Rice and Fred Lynn emerged as the Gold Dust Twins. And the Fred Lynn won Rookie of the Year and MVP, but Jim Rice had almost as good a season, finishing third in the MVP vote. But a pitch broke Jim Rice's hand down the stretch in 1975. Jim Rice did not play in the World Series that year. There was no Jim Rice in that series. Now, why is that significant? Well, several reasons. That the Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds, of course, famously played an airtight World Series in 1975. It was considered by many to be the greatest World Series ever played, of which every game seemed to be back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And a little bit here, a little tip there, would have changed the entire trajectory of that World Series. Could have made the entire difference. You're trying to tell me that if the Red Sox had one more MVP candidate in their lineup, it wouldn't have amounted to another run here, another run there. Maybe they take a 2-0 lead back to Cincinnati instead of losing game 2 by one run. Maybe they win that wild extra inning game in game 3. Maybe they have that extra big bat to drive home 2 more runs in game 7. What would have happened if the Red Sox won that World Series and Jim Rice was a part of winning that title? I'll tell you one thing that would have definitely have happened. Jim Rice would have been in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, not on the 15th, because the narrative would have gotten him in early. Yes, Williams was the greatest all-around player in Red Sox history. Yes, Carl Yastrzemski sparked the franchise and won the Triple Crown and got 3,000 hits and 400 home runs, but they won with Jim Rice. And maybe with the proverbial monkey off the bat of the back of the Red Sox, maybe they win in 78. Maybe there's no pressure on them in 86. You don't know that, and we don't, if that ball didn't break Jim Rice's hand. The greatest what-if, I think, of all time, and in some ways the saddest, because it wasn't one hit or one pitch, but it was one moment in a man's brain that took us. J.R. Richard. J.R. Richard was putting together a Hall of Fame career. By 1976, he was one of, if not the best pitchers in the National League, and by 1980, he had solidified himself as the superstar ace in the NL. And now he was combined with Nolan Ryan. Keep in mind, J.R. Richard struck out 300 batters in 1978, 300 batters in 1979, and was on pace to, if not strike out 300, certainly in the high 200s when he started the All-Star game and was the most dominant pitcher in the National League. And then the stroke took him. And he had a stroke, and it ended his season, ended his career, and ended the wonderful possibility of J.R. Richard and Nolan Ryan being the greatest 1-2 punch. Now think about what happened with the Astros in 1980, in a similar vein of what happened with Jim Rice. The Astros got to within one swing of winning the pennant. The National Championship Series between the Philadelphia Phillies and Houston Astros in 1980 was one of, if not the greatest postseason series ever played. Back and forth and back and forth these two teams went. They left it all on the field. There was no team that choked. These two teams were spectacular. And the Astros had a 2-1 lead, and they had the pennant-winning run on base in Game 4 in the bottom of the ninth. They had a lead late in the game with Nolan Ryan pitching in Game 5. They were one swing away from winning the pennant in both Games 4 and 5. You're trying to tell me that that Astros team, if they had another Hall of Fame ace, couldn't possibly have squeezed one more win? And they would have faced the Kansas City Royals and probably have won. And the whole history of the Houston Astros, having a championship in the Astrodome, having a championship with the likes of Cedeño and Nolan Ryan and Jose Cruz and all those players who you associate, having a championship won in the orange uniforms, having a championship won without the stigma of what happened in 2017, the whole history of the franchise would have been different if that one thing didn't happen to J.R. Richard. It's how fragile baseball history can be. A line drive that Gil McDougall hit on this day in 1957 could have changed the entire history of the Cleveland Indians. A pitch thrown in Anaheim that hit Tony C in the face took one of the great potential folk heroes in Boston sports history and turned him into a tragic figure. A ball that hit Jim Rice's hand, a Hall of Fame career, but it could have changed the fortune of the franchise in the 70s as opposed to the 2000s. And all of the pain and suffering that took place between 75 and 2004 would have been, not as accentuated with a championship won by the team in 75. And who knows what would have happened with the Astros. Would they have won in 80? Would they have won in 81? Would Richard still be a solid pitcher in 86? Would the Astros have been a dynasty? Would the Astros and Dodgers have collided? We don't know, and you don't know. But what I do know is the Jenga game of reality. That one thing here, one thing there, pull out, could completely change the trajectory of people's lives and a city's fortunes. Is one of the things that I, quite frankly, will never cease to amaze me in baseball history. And I'm going to keep talking about that, no matter how long all this is taking place, and even if we don't have a season this year. So go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. Follow us on all the places that we're on, Twitter and on Instagram, wherever you can find us. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Wanting us to stay smart and take a look at our fragile reality. This is Locked On MLB for the 7th day of May, 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.